It's funny how money changes situation. Miscommunication leads to complication.
Bienvenidos a Prensa Pobre Radio. Radio para el pueblo, del pueblo en la lucha. Welcome to Poor News Network Radio. Radio for the people, by the people in struggle. Ahí enmuteado con voces de migrantes en resistencia. In studio with mi carnala y hermana, Poverty and Mama Scala, Tiny.
Ashe. Today's show is dedicated to the powerful spirit journey of elder brother and revolutionary hero Chokwe Lumumba, who walked with spirit, love, and revolution into the halls of clan-infested politics in the deep south of this United Snakes of America KKK. We salute you, and all of us still here, working on self-determined, indigenous, poor, African, and people-led liberation on these stolen indigenous lands. Ashe Aho Omateo. As we have reported in previous Poor News Network segments, our elders, our families, and ourselves are being thrown on the street to make way for rich tech money. From San Francisco to South Carolina, from the Ellis Act to the Rental Assistance Demonstration, a.k.a. RAD, we are under attack. The newest attack is the privatization of all public housing buildings across the United Snakes, where us poor folks used to be able to live, even if we were, in fact, Poe. So today we will be hearing part three of our research investigation. That's poor people-led research, not institutional-led. Led by us, the residents, the impacted peoples, not the politricksters, on the privatization of public housing across this nation. Up next is my sister, Poverty Mama Scholar Queen Nande, speaking with Mama Scholar Sabrina Carter, who was forced to sign a stay-away order against her own son to make way for private ownership of her public housing building. She did sign this extremely unjust agreement because of her fear and because us poor folks never have legal representation. And then she still got served with an eviction notice and is now facing houselessness. Hers is the seventh family to deal with this situation. The program that privatized her building is called RAD, and everyone is conspiring to make this happen.
I'm not on the block no more.
No more.
I'm not selling no drugs no more.
No more.
I'm now changed into a bad man.
Yeah. Yeah.
I wanna be a man for my family.
Yeah. Yeah.
I'm not on the block no more. No more.
The next voices you'll hear is Queen Nande Ekshaba, Poor News Network Mama Scholar, speaking with Sabrina Carter, facing eviction from so-called public housing.
My name is Sabrina Carter, and I've been having a problem with McCormick and Barron for the last maybe 4 or 5 years. And now it's come to where they served me an eviction notice for something that my grown son did, and I still have two younger children in the house. McCormick and Barron is a property management. And I feel like all my rights were taken when I was forced to sign a stipulation that was basically a double-ended sword. My son is 20. He violated the stipulation, and now I got to pay the consequences for it, which I feel like it's really unfair.
What had happened prior to the stipulation? Was there another incident with one of your other children?
Yes, my 9-year-old was shot in the stomach on the grounds, and I had a letter from a district attorney that said he should be moved because it was unsafe for him. I gave them the letter from the district attorney. They gave me an eviction notice. So it's only a matter of time before I'm in the streets with my kids. My son was actually 16 when this incident happened. He was falsely identified as a shooter, and he stayed in juvenile for about a year and a half. But it came to the conclusion that it wasn't him.
This ain't the first time. We always been dealing with corruption at this particular apartment building. They're doing all the corruption. They are corrupting our files. Things are coming up missing in our files. Like in the case with Sabrina, her child got shot, okay? By law, she automatically supposed to have got Section 8 within 30 days and been able to relocate. And then for them to criminalize her child because of what he allegedly done, you know what I'm saying? That's just like the grill call on a skillet black.
To read the ongoing research and coverage of this story and this tragedy, go online to www.poormagazine.org/magazine. As well, check the San Francisco Bayview newspaper, the baddest black newspaper in the nation.
Up next, Alex Axe evictions or elder abuse.
On February 5th, Poor Magazine, poverty scholars, evicted families, and displaced revolutionaries in struggle, citing the elder abuse law, section 368, walked into the district attorney's office in San Francisco to file criminal charges against serial evicting landlords and developers and real estate snakes for the crime of elder abuse against the countless elders who now face homelessness, eviction, and oftentimes for us poor folks, and especially elders, death due to the developers' unending greed and wealth hoarding. Here is sound from that historic day. The first voice you'll hear is Benito Santiago, lifelong resident of San Francisco, of Manila Town, an elder, disabled, who's facing Ellis Act eviction. And second, you'll hear Anthony Prince, a revolutionary lawyer who stood with us through this proceeding.
My name is Ben Marcel Santiago, short for Benito Senator Marcelo Santiago. I was born and raised in San Francisco. I just got a notice, said all you guys have to get out by January. I was freaked out, I started giving things away. Friends of mine said, Benito, what are you doing? Put your stuff back in. Benito, how old are you? I'm 63. Says, well, because you're an elder, you should be able to have an extension for up to a year. I said, really? So I heard this from different organizations, and so I got a little hope.
The district attorney always has the independent legal ability to initiate his own independent investigation. You better believe that if a major crime is committed in the state through the streets of San Francisco, tomorrow night the district attorney would be on the television announcing the investigation into that crime. A crime of this magnitude and crimes of this magnitude of elders being pushed into the streets to face great bodily harm or death, those are serious crimes. This is a legal theory, breaking relatively new ground. We used to talk about this kind of stuff back in law school. You guys are actually doing it. And I'll tell you something. I was asked by the reporter out there.
To read and watch the story and coverage, go online to www.poormagazine.org/magazine to get involved or to join us in the filing with your name as an elder. Email us at dandtiny@poormagazine.org or call 510-435-7500. Up next, Voces de Migrantes en Resistencia, Migrante warriors speaking for themselves because they have their own voice, host poverty migrante scholars from Guerrero, Mexico, who spoke, taught, and shared with all of us poverty scholars on the Bracero program.
Me hipnotizaron tus ojos y ahora me tienes bajo control. Cuando me miras, siento que tiemblo y se acelera mi corazón.
Mi nombre es Diana. Don Ines es mi abuelo. Hi, my name's Diana. My grandfather is Don Ines. I had not seen him in 20 years.
No lo había visto por 20 años.
Mi nombre es Domingo Ortega.
My name is Domingo Ortega.
Y vengo también de Guerrero, de la comunidad de Santo Domingo, municipio de Coyuca de Catalán.
She's also from Guerrero.
Y yo soy hija de mi papá fue bracero.
And she's also a daughter of a bracero worker. Her dad was a bracero.
Y y andamos pues por acá gracias a Dios a la organización de
Popoan. So now we're here. Thanks to God.
Pues para ver a las familias que tenemos por acá y
to be able to visit the family that we have here.
Y ir a hablar allá a nuestro pueblo también.
And to be able to return back to
hacemos
our cities and to communicate what we have learned here.
To explain more about the Bracero program, we are speaking with Pablo Paderes from 67 Sueños, an upcoming event that they call Mi Abuelo Fue Bracero. How you doing this morning, brother?
Very good, man. Thanks for having us on KPFA.
We just heard interviews from beautiful raza gente that came all the way from Guerrero, Mexico, to demand some of the wages taken from the Bracero program. So they spoke from their own voice. But if you can break down a little bit more what the Bracero program is, and also to break down what 67 Sueños in the event you guys are organizing.
67 Sueños is a migrant youth collective. We work with high school-aged, undocumented, and underprivileged youth. We say underprivileged because when people think of the migrant youth movement, very often they think of a college campus-based movement. And that is a movement that is largely advocated historically for the DREAM Act. Unfortunately, a little-known secret about the DREAM Act is that 67% of undocumented youth across the country would not qualify for it. It requires you to either have yourself on a path to a college degree without any federal financial aid, or to be willing to enlist in the military in order to legalize your status. So those two realities preclude 67% of undocumented youth. The name 67 Sueños is obviously to imply that the 67% also have dreams and deserve human rights. Now, the way we do our work in large part is we work with young folks to develop their voice, and then they move on to advocate for their communities. And so a couple of years back, and this is how we got connected with the Bracero issue, we decided to do a road trip out to Stockton. Stockton is the birthplace of the Bracero program in the United States. We met some Braceros. We decided to do what we do best at 67 Sueños, which is to interview our community, learn the stories, digest them, and translate them into pieces of art. And we've pulled all this together into a showcase that we're going to have Friday at Eastside Arts Alliance at 6 p.m. We invite the community to come out to learn more about the Braceros, to learn more about our program, and to get involved in this struggle, because it is an ongoing struggle. Many, many Braceros have never been paid that money that was taken out of their salaries.
Right on. Can you repeat it again, man? Where is it happening? And is this coming Friday, right? And what time?
This Friday, 6 p.m., March 7th. This is going to be at the Eastside Arts Alliance on International, around 23rd Street, I believe. We're going to have some ex-braceros on hand. We're going to show video testimonies that we recorded and edited. We're going to tell a little bit of the history of the bracero in interactive and fun ways. We're going to have youth produce spoken word that unpack the history. We're also going to have a display of photography from our artists. So we have a lot of beautiful art and media to really unpack this history and connect with it, and most importantly, to honor these 80 to 90-year-old men whose story has been hidden in plain sight. It's a key part of this country. And I want to say a little bit about the Braceros and put them in context. In the United States, everything that you consider wealth that was built in this country, it's a little hard to tell the story of the last 60 years without talking about the Braceros. We're talking about the migration of 5 million Mexican workers who built the railroads, who handled the agriculture, who did a whole lot of the work that was necessary for this country to boom into the superpower that we understand it in this generation. None of that was possible without the Mexican Braceros. All of that is why we are where we are today. It's not by chance that we have mass migration from the same country where we forced migrated 5 million people 50, 60 years later.
Thanks a lot for breaking it down, brother. And, you know, definitely I'm going to try and make it out there. And Gustav, for the work that you guys doing in 67 Sueños.
Much love. Thank you.
In addition to the powerful work from our brothers and sisters at 67 Sueños that we just heard, there are also going to be a powerful tribute to Hugo Chavez happening this Thursday night at the Eric Quesada Center for Political Organizing at 16th and Valencia in San Francisco. That starts at 6 o'clock. The other powerful thing is that our Landless Peoples Movimiento that we have inside these United Snakes of America KKK is celebrating the unveiling of our plans for what we call homefulness. And that's going to go on today, Thursday, between 12 and 3 p.m. at 8032 MacArthur Boulevard out in deep East Oakland. And lastly, our sister in Florida, Marissa Alexander, who shot her gun up in the air to fight back an abusive spouse, is basically facing charges, although Zimmerman walked free for killing young brother Trayvon. There's going to be a rally on Women's Day, on International Women's Day, which is this Saturday, March 8th at 2 p.m. In honor of her at Oscar Grant Plaza. So please show up if you can.
It's funny how money changes situation. Miscommunication leads to complication.
So that's all for this segment of Poor News Network. on KPFA's Morning Mix. Thanks to Anthony Fest and Andres Soto for all you do. And love and respect to the ancestor warrior spirits of Trayvon, Renisha, Kenny, Raheem, Oscar, Ernesto, and all the young peoples criminalized and terrorized by these systems of control on this stolen land they call America. KKK. Ashe.